Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katsiran katsiran. My brothers and sisters, the thing that I want to remind myself and you is the fundamental question that even got me thinking in line of the seerah, which resulted in two books, Leadership Lessons from the Life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Seerah is the Answer. Seerah is the Answer is the book that you got with this workshop. My reason for these two books and for the two courses, one is called LEC, Leadership Excellence Course, which is a 5-day residential program. There are some of my LEC students here in this workshop. I see them here. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. And the other one is this course, which is a 2-day course that we are now teaching, called Seerah is the called the Seerah Solution Workshop. My basic question, which was in my mind, is this: if you read the Seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one matter becomes very clear, and that is the question, and that is, how is it that there was this group of people in Makkah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers? And by whatever accounts we have in the Makkan period, there weren't more than 100 something of them. How is it that these people in Makkah, in the beginning when they were there, they were the most oppressed, the weakest, the most despised, the least influential, the most powerless, right? All the terms you want to apply were terms, negative terms. How is it that the same people in the same generation went from there to becoming role models for their world? They had the state, they had wealth, and in terms of akhlaq, in terms of dealings, in terms of lifestyles, these people became the role models. How did that happen? Same generation. Now that's a question to think about, no? I mean, how did, what was it? Is there some magic or, you know, some special wazifa that somebody was reciting? No. It happened very simply by those people living Islam. Not talking about Islam, living Islam. Islam in practice. Why must you live Islam? Because people listen with their eyes. People listen with their eyes. They don't listen with their ears. People listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. If your speech is not supported by your actions, your speech has zero value. The same thing with your children, the same thing with your employees, the same thing with your friends, the same thing with the world. Credibility is a function of experience. Trust is an outcome of consistent delivery. Not doing something once right, no. Doing the same thing right every single time builds trust. How does credibility build? By never breaking your word. You give your word, you stick to the word. There's a wonderful story about Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of America. They say that he was the first person who started a library in America. And library is not, he didn't build a bricks and mortar building. A whole bunch of friends, they got together and they used to borrow and return books. So he is credited with starting the first library in America, Thomas Jefferson. Now, Thomas Jefferson had a man in his cabinet who was a very severe critic of his. He didn't like him. He always used to criticize him for various things. So Thomas Jefferson taught himself that I need to build trust with this particular guy. So what do you think he did? What he did was, for years, he would always borrow a book from him and he would return it on time. So if he borrowed the book on a Monday and it was to be returned on a Friday, he would ensure that this book was returned on Friday. Even if he hadn't read it, he would still return the book. Always. And he said this helped to build trust. This man started to trust him because he said, okay, this guy keeps his word. A simple question I ask myself and I ask you. What are we Muslims known for the most in today's world, irrespective of which country we live in? I see smiles on people's faces. What are we known for the most? Muslim time, Arab time? What is Arab time? What is Muslim time? Time is a... My students have all gone to sleep. Time is a what? Say it loudly. Time is a number. There is no tafsir of time. 9 o'clock means 9 o'clock. It doesn't mean anything else. It means 9 a.m. means 9 a.m. Right? 9 a.m. is not a figure of speech. It's not a concept of imagination. You get the point I'm saying? Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man who wanted to meet him, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will meet you in this particular place at this particular time. The man said, fine. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there. He waited there. He waited for an hour, maybe no sign of this person. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back. The next day, he went there again. Same place, same time. He waited for another hour, no sign of the person. Third day, he went to the same place, same time. This man came running. He said, Ya Rasulallah, Allah, 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 I forgot. I was supposed to meet you 2 days ago in this place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was here. Credibility is a function of experience. People will trust you if they experience you as keeping your word. And keeping your word is not about some great global... agreement. No, it's every single thing. If I say I will do something, I must do it. That's it. There is no... Our problem is, I will tell you I will meet you at 9 o'clock and then I will not meet you at 9 o'clock. I will not even call you at 9 o'clock. I will come at God knows whatever time. And then I will tell you this long story about what happened to my grandmother's aunt, which is why all of this happened. Now, I'm a bit rude about all this. So when somebody doesn't come on time and then they come and start to tell me their story, I tell them, look, you already wasted my time once. I'm not interested in your story. I don't care what happened. You didn't come. Don't tell me your story. And if you are offended, thank you very much. I hope you are offended, because it's like what George Bernard Shaw said. He said, people never do anything unless they are offended. So I said, I'm trying to offend you. Please get offended. Right? Seriously, I mean, this is a ridiculous thing. It's an absolutely shameful thing that we say Muslim time, Arab time. What is this? What does that show us? I've been working with GE from 1994 onwards. And I've taught GE cotton mill courses in America, in Singapore, in India. Every GE cotton mill course, illa mashallah, begins at 8:30 a.m. Run moon, sun, moon or rain, 8:30 a.m. And 8:30 a.m., every single person who should be in that room is in that room. I've never ever had people missing, unless somebody had, called and said that I'm sick or I'm in hospital or I'm dead or something, Every single person, no excuses. Nothing to say. You see, there was this freezing rain and roads were slick. No. 8:30 a.m., you are supposed to be in the room. They are in the room. That's the issue of credibility. And this was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he dealt with things. My brothers and sisters, I mentioned this to you yesterday, which is... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him and called him his ni'mah on the believers. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, verily Allah has blessed. As I mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with many things. But the only ni'mah which Allah called a ni'mah specifically, this is my blessing on you, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, yesterday's lecture, I mentioned all of this in detail. Many of you were there last night, and those of you who are not there, we'll send you the link to that lecture. So when you go home, you listen to that. I don't want to do it all over again. For all these people, you've heard it once, and that's enough. Inshallah, I just want to quickly run through the translation of the ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a great favor, a ni'mah, a blessing on the believers when he sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves, reciting unto them his ayat of the Qur'an and purifying them, which is internal and external, tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq, and teaching them the book, which is al-Qur'an and al-hikmah, which is the wisdom and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah said, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And verily, while before that, they were in clear and manifest error. So Allah is saying very clearly, before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before they learned the deen from him, they were in error. They were not on the right path. And the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest blessing on them, and Allah conferred this blessing on them, and therefore it is for them to understand that, to value that. And who are these them? We. The ayat, the mukhatab of the ayat are the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but alhamdulillah, this refers to all Muslims until the end of time. And as I said yesterday, what is the way of showing this appreciation is to follow what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, which is Islam. The way to appreciate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to follow his sunnah. So why must we study the seerah? Because that is the way we follow the sunnah. How do you follow the sunnah? By knowing what the sunnah is. And how do you know the sunnah? By studying the seerah. What did he used to do? How do we know that? By reading his biography. It's an amazing thing, and it's also one of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this for us, that the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, I can say this, I don't even want to use the term perhaps, I can say this with complete certainty, that there is no life of anybody in the world which is recorded in such intricate and intimate detail. Right? If you look at the shama'il, if you look at the appearance and the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let me ask you this question. Think of the person you love the most, whoever it is, your parent, your spouse, your child, or whoever, your friend, somebody you love the most, and somebody who you think you know the best. You thought of the person? Let me ask you a question. How do they clip their nails? Where do they begin? Which finger, and where do they end? What is he describing? He is describing the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to clip his nails. Now, if you were thinking of your spouse or your parent or somebody, do you know how they clip their nails? Tell me, keep that same person in your mind. Think about the same person, right? Do you, if I ask you, tell me, what was the appearance and how did the sole of their feet, how was it? They described that from Isa Salam. This is what is the soles of his feet were like. When he went into sujood, how did he clip his nails? They observed. And like my little brother there, he said, start with the second finger, meaning the finger of tashahud, go across to the small finger, go across to the thumb, and come back to the thumb. So start with this finger. It's like you hold your hands up in dua like this. You start with the index finger. You go across to the thumb, and you come back to this thumb. So you start with this finger, you finish with this thumb. That was the way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clipped his nails. Now you might say, well, you know, of course, with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single thing is, first of all, the reason why it's important is because we love him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also because every action which is done of the sunnah as a sunnah with that niyat converts it into an action of ibadah for which Allah will reward you. So if Allah is going to reward me for clipping my nails, do I have an objection? I don't think so, right? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he picked up his shoes, he would dust them, not meaning he didn't rub them, he just knocked them. So he sort of turned them upside down and he put them on. If you just do that action as a sunnah, that's an action of ibadah for which Allah will reward you for putting on your shoes. It's also a good action, because especially those of you who are interested in, who know about camping and so on and so forth, if you are in the bush somewhere or if you are in some of our countries where we share the planet with other creatures, believe me, it's not so uncommon to find a scorpion sitting in your nice warm shoe up in the toe, and when you put your foot inside is when the scorpion discovers you and you discover the scorpion. And that is, you know, close encounter of the third kind, which I wouldn't advise anybody to have. And the simplest thing to do is to knock the shoe, whatever inside will fall out. So it's good practice. Now you might say, because shaitan will come to you, you might say, well, you know, I'm wearing flip-flops, I can see what there is, so why do I need to do that? Do it because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. No other reason. And why must you do, what's the benefit of doing that? What is the benefit of doing it only because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it? I told you last night in the bayan. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, to do your ittiba. Say to them, tell them to imitate you, to emulate you. In what? In everything. It's a blanket statement. It's a general statement. How must I have my haircut? The way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have his haircut. Not like a punk, not, you know, shaving part of the head and long hair in the other part of the head, step haircuts, no. How must I have my beard? First I must have a beard, and then I must have it like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have it. Should I cover my head when I'm praying? Remember, I'm not talking about whether your salah is valid or not valid. No, salah is valid. Even if you pray without a head covering, salah is valid. But if you read the descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah, how many descriptions are there of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying without a head covering? One. How many descriptions are there of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying with a head covering? With a helmet, with a turban, with a cap? Every other description except that one. So by all means, one day in your life, follow the sunnah which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did one day in his life. And for the rest of your life, follow the sunnah which he did in the rest of his life.
Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman.